The enemy has been really busy these past 2 days. For a hot minute, I didn't think I was going to be able to speak tonight. If I sound like I have a frog in my throat, it's because I'm recovering from a sore throat. Kind of came on me suddenly. And I didn't quite realize what was happening until I was speaking to Sandy last night. And I was straining to speak, you know. And I said, "Do I sound funny?" And she said, "Well, sort of." And then she told me, you know, drink some colloidal silver and stuff like that, which I did. And it has helped a lot, but I'm still not there yet. So forgive me. And then tonight, you know, I came in here, and as usual, I tried to go over my lesson. And, you know, I type my lesson up in my email. And then I usually send it to myself, so I have something in the send folder in case anything go wrong, you know. I got locked out of my email. I could not get in, and I'm like, oh my God, not tonight. It wouldn't take my password, and I'm panicking now because I'm thinking, did I change the password or something? But finally, it came to its senses and let me in. So I'm here, thank God. And so I'm continuing. Oh, let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory because you're a good God, full of mercy and compassion. Lord, where would we be without you? Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for all the benefits you give us. Thank you, Lord, for your protection, the way you watch over us, the way you provide for us, the way you sustain us, and the way you help us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and will always be forever the same. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Lord, as I attempt to deliver your word, I pray, Lord, that you would be with me as I speak. Lord, let everyone who hears this lesson tonight, Lord, let them hear what you are saying, what the Spirit is saying, and not me. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry. So tonight is part two on the purpose of prayer. Now, last week, I totally strayed from my notes. I've never really done anything like that to that extent. But anyway, God saw me through it. So we'll see how this week goes. Now, the foundation for this lesson from last week was Matthew 6:10. And I'm continuing along that theme tonight. Matthew 6:10. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is what Jesus told his disciples to pray when they asked him to teach them how to pray. Okay? Now, as I was driving here, I was listening, I think it was David Jeremiah, he comes on, and you know, in the evenings, and he said something that caught my attention. Anything that have anything to do with prayer is like my antennas go bloop. I just hear it. And he was saying about praying to Jesus, we pray to Jesus. And, you know, as I listened to him, I realized, you know, I'm not disputing him, I'm not a theologian or anything. But my understanding, from what I understand, you know, it occurred to me, this is what Jesus said to his disciples when they said, teach us how to pray. And, you know, I've heard this over the years. You know, there's been this debate as to who should we pray to. Should we pray to God or should we pray to Jesus? But the disciples asked Jesus, they said, teach us how to pray. Now, this is Jesus, the Son of God. And he said, you ought to pray this way, our Father. There's our answer right there. And, you know, and yes, you know, sometimes if we don't know any better, we can pray to Jesus, you know, and he'll hear us because he's Jesus. He's merciful, he's full of compassion. And if you don't know any better and you call on him, he'll hear you. He says, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This was a word the Lord gave me in church years ago one night when I was stressing about something, my brother and I had a huge blowout over the phone. Him down in Guyana, and I mean, it was bad, and it was just before church. Isn't it just like the enemy? Just before you come to church, he brings something to, you know, steal your peace, distract you. And so I was in church, and half of me was in church, but the other half was running over this big argument that we had. So I really was, I mean, I was there, but yet I wasn't there. Has anybody ever experienced that? You know, we're in church, but we're not really in church. Well, that was me. Half of me was there, and then the other half was listening, you know, just going over this big blowout and feeling ashamed of myself for allowing him to bait me the way he did. And so one brother got up and gave this same word, Jeremiah 33:3, and I really didn't hear it except the last part. And I will show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. And within me, my spirit just leapt up. You know, it just resonated. So I reached over, he was sitting right in front of me, and I said, what was that word you gave? And he said, well, the Lord just gave me this for somebody here. Now, before I went to church, after I blew up with my brother, I called my friend, and you know, I was telling her what happened, and I said, I'm not going to church. I can't go to church. I feel so bad. And she said, no, Jem, come to church. Come on. You know, don't let it weigh you down. Now, it's not just like Satan. It makes you feel guilty, and he tries to keep you out from church. But see, if I hadn't gone, I wouldn't have gotten that word. See, he was trying to steal that word of encouragement that God had for me. And so he said, I just feel like this word is for someone here, but I don't know who it is. And I said, well, what's the word? And he said, right here, Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I'm telling you, I knew instantly, I knew that was to me. Isn't God good? Yeah. And so after church, my friend came up to me. She said, Jen, did you hear that? As soon as I heard it, I knew that was for you. This is the one that I called, you know. It's so good to have a friend that you can call. And so, how did I get there? You know, God is merciful and he's compassionate, and when we call, he'll answer us. You know, if we don't know any better, he'll answer us. He gives mercy to those, you know, who's not quite there. And so, but for those of us who are more seasoned, you know, those of us who are more, a little bit more grounded, we ought to know whom we should pray to, don't we? The words Jesus said, pray our Father, which art in heaven. He's our Heavenly Father, and he's waiting to hear from us. So he told his disciples, he said, pray, verse 10, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, God's will, I think I said this last week, but it bears repeating, because so many of God's children think that God's will is automatically done. If it was, Jesus would not have said, pray thy will be done on earth. See, we have a free will. We are free moral agents. We're not robots. Sometimes I wish he had made us like robots. You know, just wind us up and we just do what we're supposed to do. But God wants us to love him freely. He wants us to obey him freely. He wants us to follow him freely. He doesn't want a bunch of people wound up like robots. That's not what he wants. He wants us to choose. We get to choose whether we want to serve him. We get to choose whether we want to come to church. You know, we get to choose whether we're going to worship him or whether we're going to live for him. God gave us that choice. And I'm glad he did give us a choice, but I'm telling you, sometimes I wish, you know, we didn't have no choice. But that's not how God ordained it. So when God says something, we shouldn't just expect, I mean, we should believe it. We should always believe God's word, but we shouldn't just expect that it's going to automatically come to pass. Because we have an enemy, Satan. And as it says in John 10:10, he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Actually, it says the thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He is going around looking to see whose life he can disrupt, you know, who he can deceive, who he can lie to. He just is, that's just him. That's what he lives to do. That's how he gets his kicks. And so we, you know, we have to be alert that we have an enemy waiting to steal, waiting to destroy, waiting to kill. Now, he can't do this automatically now. He can only do what he's allowed to do, what we allow him to do. When we have loopholes or cracks in our armor, I think I ordered I'd ordered that video from Perry Stone, and it says cracks in your armor, and I have not listened to it as yet, but I have to. But you know, if we are not careful and we don't pray like we should, we will get chinks in our armor. And you know, Satan is just waiting to come in and just kick the door in and come in. He has a way to be invited in. The Holy Spirit waits for us to say, come in. You know, God, he waits on us. But Satan, he's a bully. He just barges in and takes over. Do you know anyone like that? Always taking over and, you know. Well, I don't think I know anyone like that. Maybe I used to, but. But God waits patiently for us to invite him in. And so, you know, when we are not prayed up like we should, we get chinks in our armor. We get loopholes that he can force himself, squeeze himself in and come in. You know, like mice. I heard that they don't have any bones. I don't know how true it is. But this is a funny story, and it's not in my list, but I'm going to tell it. I think bats. Someone of my friends convinced me that bats don't have bones either. And so this bat that flew in our house one night, you know, we had some issues with our roof and there was a gap somewhere in the tarp, wherever. And this bat, I just saw this thing flying back and forth. And I was sitting on the couch and I thought, what's that bird doing flying in here at that hour of the night? And Matt said, Mom, that's not a bird, that's a bat. Well, oh my God, what did he tell me that for? I'm like, a bat, oh, you know. And then he got all excited, and the bat is going this way and that way, you know, and I'm like this, and I'm screaming, and he's screaming. And you know, bats, they follow the sound. And so he's screaming, and I'm screaming, you know, I'm on the couch, I'm ducking, you know, I'm holding my head, and the bat is coming towards us. And I got up and ran, and I grabbed a broom, you know, and I'm like, and Matt is jumping up. Oh my God, it was horrible. So somehow, to make a long story short, I ended up sleeping in the couch because Matt convinced me that the bat flew in our room, my room. And so I locked the door, you know, and there was the blanket out there, and I'm, you know, I'm wrapped up now. Called one of my friends, and she said, now, Jim, put a blanket under the door because, you know, bats can squeeze through any little crack. So I'm like, oh, my God. So, you know, I went and I grabbed the blanket and I shoved it under the inner door. So I'm sleeping, but I'm not really sleeping. I wrapped up like a mummy. All you can see are my eyes. My husband was working out the town, and I, you know, I'm laying there, you know, but my eyes are like this. I'm looking at this bat to come because I have visions, you know, of bats biting you, and you know, that was nothing but the enemy. But I mean, he really worked me over that night. Fear, that spirit of fear, you know, will paralyze you. But what did God say about, you know, about the spirit of fear? He said he has not given us that spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I don't know what happened. I didn't even think to pray that night. prayer was the last, was not on my radar. All I was thinking about was this bat. So that's the free bat story. But you know, it's in John 10:10, he says, he comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so last night, as I was going over the lesson, you know, and making last minute changes and stuff, you know, it suddenly occurred to me that this is the first time that I actually saw this particular verse in the way I'm going to share it right now. You know, I always thought it was just physical life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm like, yes, you know, Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And I would pray, thank you, Lord, for abundant life, you know. And my idea of abundant life is not what God means. He came that we might have life. You know, there's more than just physical life. There's life in the next world, in eternity. And, you know, we'll either live in heaven or we'll die in a lost eternity. And so he came that we would have that life, that everlasting, eternal life with him. I never saw that. I mean, I shocked myself. I thought, Jem, you should have known this. But you know, isn't it amazing how sometimes what a narrow view we have of the scripture? And so I began to really meditate about this. You know, he came, because before Jesus came, we were all dead. We were all, you know, heading for a lost eternity. We didn't have a savior. You know, we just didn't. And so Jesus came, God sent him. He gave us this precious gift so that we would have that eternal life. I just thought that, you know, that I wanted to bring that out. And that's what Satan is after. Yes, he's after a physical life. Yes, he wants to make us sick, you know, and stressed out and all this stuff. But more than our physical life, he wants our spiritual life. He wants to snatch that from us. He wants to steal that from us. And he wants to, you know, to keep us distracted so that we don't, you know, we're too busy, you know, the voice of God is drowned out by the things of the world, and we don't have time to pray. We don't have time to meditate on his word, no time to seek. You know, when we read the word, when we pray, we're building our spiritual life. That's why he's after our praying. He hates it, because when we pray, we're fortifying ourselves. We're, you know, drawing closer to God. That's how, you know, we draw closer to God, through prayer, by communicating with him, you know, hearing him, feeling him, you know, sensing what he's saying. And it all happens through prayer, not only through prayer, but that's one of the chief ways, you know, communicating with God. I mean, how awful would it be, you know, you live in a house with your husband or your wife and your children, and nobody speaks to each other. You wouldn't get to know each other, would you? Or let's say you're going out on a date. Some guy, you know, wants to take you on a date, and you get to the restaurant, and both of you are just sit there looking at each other. No one's saying anything. I mean, what kind of a date is that? Would you want to go back? Would you want to go out with that guy again? You know, but that's how we treat God a lot of times. We don't speak. You know, we don't communicate. We try to get to know him like we should. Except when we're in trouble. Then we're bombarding God with prayers. And not that there's anything wrong with that. Don't, you know, misunderstand what I'm saying. God wants to hear from us, because that's the type of God he is. But it shouldn't be only when we're in trouble or only when we need something. You know, we should not treat God like I like to say, a spare tire. You know, a spare tire? You don't think about it until you need it. One time I had a flat, and I had to pull off and by the road, and God sent someone to help me change the tire. I didn't even know where the tire was. It's awful. I mean, really. I mean, all I knew at the time was how to, you know, drive the car and park it and put gas in it when it needed gas. I didn't know anything else. And when he found the tire, it was flat. Isn't that awful? He had to go across the street, across two highways, you know, to put air in my tire. That he was an angel. You know, anytime I had a flat, God has, I'd always had someone right there to come and change my tire for me. It's amazing. One time I was on my way to Auburn and my truck was started keeping, you know, this thing, and I'm trying to figure, what's wrong with this truck? You know? And somebody was honking their horn behind me, and you know, I'm at the stoplight and I'm looking through the mirror and thinking, what's wrong with him? And so I had to go through the light, and then I realized, oh my God, I've got a flat. And he was right there. He pulled right behind me to change my tire. God has been good to me, let me tell you. But you know, we should not treat God like a spare tire. You know, we should pay attention to our spiritual life, our prayer life specifically. Because that's how God, you know, that's one of the ways God will communicate with us. And it helps us to be alert, help us to be sensitive, to know when the enemy is on the prowl, when he's doing stuff, you know? Like, you know, when I got, you know, I came down with this sore throat, I mean, I was fine all day. And as I started going through my lesson, then all of a sudden, my throat felt funny, didn't pay no attention to it until Sandy called. Came here today, tonight, and I was like, I'm not going to sing too much because I want to save my voice, you know, but I seem to be doing pretty good, am I? God is good. But, you know, we need to be vigilant. We don't need to be in no stupor, just going around, you know, just walking aimlessly through life. That's not how God wants us to be. He wants us to be vigilant. He wants us to, according to 1 Peter 5:8, we must be sober, be vigilant. This is the King James Bible. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. See, that's what he's doing. He's not in some corner floating on a cloud, on a cloud somewhere. No. He's all over. Remember in Job? When the sons of God came to present themselves before him, and Satan came too, I've always wondered, what's he doing going there? You know, he's got some nerve. But he went to present himself, and God said, you know, where have you come from? I'm paraphrasing. And he said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking through it. And I always thought, that's, you know, that's what he does. He's got a very, very boring life, going up and down. But no, he's on the prowl. Uh-huh. He's looking to see whom, you know, he can devour. He's looking to see if I can tempt, you know, let me see if Natasha will take this bait. You know, and he dangles a carrot in front of her. I heard a story, Jerry Savelle was telling this story years ago about, you know, he got locked out his room. And so he went down to the desk, the receptionist, and was asking the guy to let him in. The guy wouldn't let him in, and he said, I need some ID. And he said, well, once you let me in, I'll go and show you my ID. And he said, sure, I'll let you in. Just show me your ID. And he said, I just told you. I went to get some ice, and the door slammed shut, and I don't have my key or anything. Please let me in. And this thing went on, he said, I think for about 15 minutes. And he said he had gotten so mad. And just as he was about to reach over and grab the guy by the scruff of his throat, the manager came and said, what's the problem? And, you know, he explained to him, and the guy said, sure, I'll let you in. So on his way to his room, he said, they were talking, and the manager said, by the way, what's your profession? And he said, he was so embarrassed because he was about to grab the guy by the scruff of his neck. And he said, I'm a preacher. And he had to preach that night. And the manager said, I figured as much. Because that guy, he's notorious for messing with preachers. And I had threatened him that the next preacher that he messed with, I was going to fire him. No, he was about to take the bait. The guy had pushed his buttons. He had explained to him over and over and over again, I don't have my ID on me. Just let me in. I'm in this room number. You know, let me in and I'll show you my ID. And he just kept saying, no, sure, I'll let you in. Just show me your ID. And, you know, that's what Satan does. He dangles these baits and he tries to get us to take it. See, he'll come to try to tempt us, try to get us, you know, in a mode where we're depressed or where we're stressed out about something, make somebody, you know, get us angry about something. I mean, it's amazing what he does, but we need to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant, because if we aren't vigilant, you know, if we aren't prayed up, we'll take the bait. Now, we can ruin our testimony. It's amazing how many good things you can do and nobody notices. But the minute you have one tiny slip, ooh, it's magnified 1,000 times. And that's all people see. That's all they talk about. Have you ever noticed that? And that's what Satan does. He's on the prowl looking to see whom he can devour. And so we need to be vigilant. We need to stay prayed up against the enemy. We need to be watchful, you know, and not allow ourselves to be lulled into some, you know, into complacency. We have to be alert and vigilant, and prayer will do that to us. A prayerless Christian is a weak Christian. You know, just like our battery in our remote control runs dead, or our phone batteries, you know, starts acting up, or the flashlight, what do? Don't we replace the battery or recharge the phone, and then everything is energized and work perfectly? Well, when we don't pray, that's exactly what's happening. Our batteries, spiritual batteries, are losing power. And when the enemy comes, we're powerless, or we don't have as much power to, you know, to resist him or to refute what he's telling us. So we have to be prayed up, or we'll believe any lie. We'll be susceptible to any lie that he wants to tell us. And he's good at putting thoughts in our head and making us think that it's our thought, that we're the ones thinking it. He's an expert at that. I don't like to give him any credit, but he played that card in me a couple of times. When we lived in Hawaii in the 90s, I was invited to this prayer group. And there were about 6-7 of us, I can't remember. But there was this particular lady. And I mean, for 2 years, we prayed, I think, twice a week. But for 2 years, I just knew that this lady didn't like me. And I was puzzled. You know, used to think to myself, why doesn't she like me? What is it about me that she doesn't like? And the enemy kept, you know, he kept telling me this and that and X, Y, and Z. Fast forward, we're back stateside, and I received a package in the mail from Hawaii. And in the package was a jar of some the most delicious passion fruit jam I have ever had. So I called the prayer leader, she had sent it, and I was thanking her for the box, and I said, oh, that passion fruit jam was so delicious. And she said, Miyako made it for you. I can't believe I remember her name. I've been busting my brains trying to remember. She said, Miyako made you that. And it just shocked me. I said, what? And she said, yes, she wanted to do something for you. And I said to Doris, but she doesn't like me. And she said, Jeff, who told you that? And I said, I don't know. I just felt that she didn't like me. And she said, no, that's not true. Miyako likes you. She thinks very highly of you. She admires you. And I was so stunned, because for 2 years, I've been believing that she didn't like me. Now, who do you suppose was putting that thought in my head? The enemy, yeah. And I was a sucker. I fell for it. You know, fast forward, I'm here in this ministry. And I'm out. Matt was in wrestling, had wrestling practice, and I decided to wait in town to pick him up because I didn't want to make 2 trips. And I had a brilliant idea to call Miss Pauline. She was having some health issues, and I called her and said, can I come by and visit you? And she said, sure. And I went by, I spent about almost two hours with her. And as I was leaving, she said to me, "You know, I was really surprised when you called me." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because I never thought you liked me. I always thought that you didn't like me." Wow. See, the same thing.
Yes.
Satan doesn't have any new tricks. It's the same thing he uses over and over and over again. And I said, "Where'd you get that idea?" And she said, "I don't know." But see, here she was thinking that I didn't like her, which was a total lie. So if there's any of you here that have that ideal, don't believe it. I like you. Anybody on Facebook or YouTube, wherever you're watching this, if you have that feeling that Miss Jem don't like you, it's a lie. I deny it. I love you. I like you. But you see what I'm saying? How Satan works. You know, even when you're prayed up, he's very skillful at deceiving. No wonder he was able to deceive one third of the angels. Stupid angels, I bet you they're sorry now. They know their goose is cooked, you know? So, you know, prayer is important. It's very important. We have to focus, you know, on what God's word says. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." See, we are in control of what we think. You know, if we're not prayed out, the enemy will fill our thoughts with all kinds of things that are contrary to what God is saying. And we have to be careful what we think, because you know, we'll have that tendency to act it out, and we'll go contrary to God's will, you know, his purposes and his plans, if we meditate on the bad stuff. So, you know, we have to meditate, just like it says here, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, think on these things. We have to control what we let into our mind. I don't know who said it, but somebody said it, and it makes sense. I like it. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you sure can stop them from making a nest in it. If a bird comes and tries to build a nest in your head, you're not just going to let him, are you? You know, you'll be swapping him away. Well, why do we do that? Why do we allow the enemy to put thoughts in our mind, and we meditate it over and over and over again? You know, we cooperate with him way too much. We should cooperate with what God's word says. And we do that through prayer as we pray. You know, it's amazing when you get into prayer, you find yourself quoting scriptures that you never thought you knew. A lot of time I've been praying, and I heard myself say a scripture, and then I caught myself and I thought, where did that come from? I didn't know that I knew it. But see, once you put it in, the Holy Spirit will pull it out when it's needed. So we have to put God's word in. And remember, weeks ago I talked to about praying God's word. In order to pray his word, you have to know what his word says. God says, he says, put me in remembrance of my word. Not that he needs reminding. But there's something about us speaking his word out into the atmosphere. I think we announce to the enemy, this is what God's word says. He needs to hear. Remember Jesus when he was in the desert after 40 days of fasting? How did he resist Satan? With God's word. It is written. It is written. It is written. And after a while, Satan said, "Forget this, I'm gone." And he flew away. So when we pray, and you know, we pray God's word, it builds us up. It gives us a clearer view of God's plan for us if we're praying about a certain situation. It helps us to see God for who he is. We get a deeper revelation of who God is. And we get that through prayer. We get it through reading the word too. But there's something about communicating with God in prayer. God reveals himself. You feel his presence. You see things happen. As a newborn Christian, I was praying one day. I was kneeling at the side of my bed, and I was praying. And it seems like I just couldn't pray. I just kept repeating the same thing over and over, no matter how hard I tried. I just kept repeating the same thing over and over. And after a while, you know, I just knelt there. I felt like I should just stay there. Don't give up. And after a while, a presence came in my room, a divine presence, a holy presence. And simultaneously as that presence came in, that other thing that was there, floop, it was gone. And I prayed, and I'm not sure, but I'm sure I prayed for over an hour. It's like I had a breakthrough. See, the enemy was, I was a newborn Christian, didn't know much, and trying to do what I thought was the right thing. And there he was, trying to discourage me, you know, trying to, you know, just weigh me down, you know, make me go blank, not be able to put two words together. But God came in, and he flew away. And I had the breakthrough. Prayer will do that. Prayer will give you breakthroughs. As long as you persevere, sometimes you have to press your way. And I'm out of time. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that I went over so long. But I still have a lot more stuff. I don't know if there's a part three. Maybe if Pastor. I trust this lesson has been a blessing to you. And it seems like I found my voice. God is good, isn't it?
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.